You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit VOTR.church.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, that was good. Hello, it's good to see you all. Welcome to the Vineyard, and welcome to everyone on the live stream as well. I'm glad you could join us. Again, my name is Natalie, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. It's so great to be together this morning. I love being able to start my week in worship with all of you. It's special. Well, we are currently in our Advent series looking at different ways that people first responded to Jesus. The news of his birth, the fact that he came to dwell among us. We've talked about how the angels responded with praise and worship, right? Herod responded in anger and rage, the priests with apathy or a lukewarm response, and the wise men went on a very long quest, determined to meet Jesus face to face. And when they saw him, they worshiped with amazement and generosity. It's a remarkable and significant story that impacts our faith. Every Christmas, the birth year story comes around, and we just need to hear it. We need to hear it and be reminded year after year after year of the humble king that we follow. And in the same way the people of the Bible responded to the good news of Jesus Christ, we also have an invitation to respond, right? Again and again and again. In our busyness, in our humanity, we can forget. We can forget about the miraculous and humble way that Jesus entered our world. As I was preparing for our time together this morning and reading through the scripture for today, I was reminded of the first time that I was in a room with people who expected God to move and to hear his voice. Maybe you grew up knowing that God speaks to us today, but maybe, like me, you didn't. I had no idea that God could speak to me, and learning this was an important moment for my faith. People I had known for years, friends and youth leaders even, they started sharing what they thought God was saying to them. Through prayer, they were learning to hear from God, but I didn't hear anything. Did that mean it wasn't true? Was something wrong with my faith? I wanted to hear from God. Deep down, I knew that he could speak to us, but I wasn't experiencing it yet. I was confused. I was a little thrown off by this moment. I had to process what was happening, right? These people I trusted, leaders I looked up to, and I saw their passion, their kindness, and intentionality. Now here they are saying that they can hear from God, but that was not my worldview. This experience, what it really did, it forced me to look at the scriptures for what they actually said, and it expanded my faith. Early on, I kind of only believed that God spoke to people in the days of the scriptures, but now I was learning that he is still speaking to us today. Turns out God is speaking and is still speaking to us today. Here at the Vineyard, we expect God to speak to us. We know God is always at work and that we can hear his voice. I was learning and growing in my faith, and I responded to this experience with curiosity. For me, it was the ability to ask questions and seek answers from God and within Christian community that absolutely changed my life. And maybe that's you this morning, or maybe you're still exploring faith and exploring a life with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and you're curious. You want to know. There are many people who come through the doors of our church exploring what a life with Jesus might look like. Jesus brings steadiness. He calms our fears. He is a miracle worker. He's the savior of the world. If you're feeling drawn to him this morning, I'm going to create space later on in the service for you to make a decision to follow him for the very first time. Making a decision to follow Jesus is the best and most miraculous decision that you could ever make. As we continue our series called First Responders, we're going to look at how Mary first responded to the news of Jesus. Looking at her story this morning, we'll see a lot of curiosity in her heart, just like I had on my first faith journey, and probably similar to many of you in this room. And my hope is that we can fully embrace curiosity in our faith, but also walk away with other tools to help us prepare our hearts to expect miraculous things in our lives with the Lord, just like Mary. So in our passage, the angel Gabriel, he showed up to Mary and told her that she would become pregnant, right? And that her child would be the savior of the world. This is not a small thing to hear and respond to. And she had probably heard stories of angels before, but this seems like her first personal experience. So let's take a look. We're going to take a look at Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. And as I read, I want you to pay attention to how Mary responded to the angels. And remember, the word of God is alive and active. So pay attention to what happens in your heart as I read this morning. Let's take a look. Luke 1, I'm starting in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is a beautiful passage in Scripture, and it's just the beginning of Mary's story. There are a couple different ways Mary responded in this passage, and we can learn a lot from the posture of her heart and her life. So, how did Mary respond? How did she first respond? She was confused and disturbed. I'm going to read verse 28 and 29 again. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. She had no idea what was happening or why it was happening, and she was confused and disturbed. This clearly wasn't something she was expecting. And last week, Jeff looked at the first response from three groups of people: Herod, the priests, and the wise men. And what's interesting is the same English word that's used for how Herod responded is used for how Mary responded. Same word, disturbed. But when you really study the language, it says Herod was deeply disturbed. And that mixed with his insecurity and anger, it turned into rage. But with Mary, she had the favor of God. And even though she was disturbed, it's not paired with anger. It's paired with confusion. She needed clarity. She was perplexed and didn't understand. They were both disturbed, but one landed on an evil heart and one landed on a pure heart. And because of their heart posture, they had completely opposite responses. What's really special about Mary, then, is that although she was confused and disturbed at the beginning of this passage, her final response was so inspiring. Look at verse 38 again. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary has clearly moved on from being confused and disturbed to being filled with great faith for all that the Lord has for her. The implications of what the angel shared with her are huge. It's a miracle that the angel showed up to her. It's a miracle that she would carry the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dwelling within her. But not only that, Mary's faith and expectation in a moment of confusion was absolutely miraculous. That was so miraculous. This brings up the question that we're going to answer this morning. How did Mary go from confused and disturbed to filled with faith? How did she go from confused to filled with faith? Confused to, may everything you've said about me come true. In Mary's confusion, she responded in some specific ways that can really serve us this morning. Looking at her life and applying her responses can really help us this Christmas season. The first thing she does and we can do, we can create space. Create space. Mary had space to be alone. She had space to hear from the Lord. No one else was mentioned in this passage. This was an encounter that was just for Mary. This is like, it's like three spiritual disciplines all in one. You've got solitude, you've got silence, and prayer. This helped her to focus on what God was saying through the angel Gabriel. When you don't get away with the Lord, when you haven't created space to be with God, you might not even be aware of what you need from him, because you've gotten so caught up in the busyness. And we need his presence in every area of our lives. It's important to build rhythms in your life and to get away with the Lord to grow your relationship with God. It takes planning. Plan to set aside time. Create space to be with him. Allow him to fill you with what you need before anything else. It can be as simple as pausing and praying a simple prayer and then waiting a minute or two to listen. When you wait on the Lord, pay attention to your thoughts, okay? The things that are running through your mind. Distractions are things to lay at Jesus' feet. They might not even be distractions. They might be prayer needs or real concerns you have. So offer them to the Lord in prayer. Because we're in the middle of the Christmas season, I think about how life might be moving pretty fast for some of us. Simply living in America, I think life can move super fast, I suppose. But it's pretty sad that we've gotten to a place in our culture where we can blame the birth of Jesus in this powerful season for why we're stressed out and overwhelmed. It's not Jesus' fault that we're so busy and stressed. It's not his fault. For me, when I haven't found enough space to simply be still with the Lord, my mind can be filled with tasks ahead. It's even hard for me to simply be present with the people around me. Maybe you came in today and your mind is just filled with all the things that are coming up. That can impact your ability to receive and hear the Lord's voice in your life today, right now. Right here in this space. This is one of the reasons why at the end of every message, we always create space to quietly reflect. We're going to be doing this in a little bit. We want to practice what we preach on every Sunday. We want to help you experience God and hear his voice, because even in church, we can rush and rush and rush and never create space. So our little moment at the end of every message is designed to create space for you to hear from God. It's important to get away with the Lord and create space. So this is the first thing that we see Mary do. She had margin in her life to hear from God. As you continue in the passage, Mary shows up in other ways that are also helpful for us this morning. Next, it's important to get curious. In the midst of her confusion and being disturbed by the angel's news, Mary, she stayed curious and she leaned in to what the angel would say next. She didn't doubt. She didn't get defensive. She wasn't angry or frustrated. And she didn't respond in disbelief, which that's miraculous. That is so miraculous. She was curious and she was ready to learn all that she could. Curiosity, it does require patience. There are plenty of times where I can be impatient with the Lord. I'll ask God a question, but I won't be patient and curious. I'll just race forward with my own ideas and my own answers. In my impatience, I lose my curiosity, and I don't actually listen well. I could learn something from Mary. I bet we all could. Mary was confused, but she simply asked the angel a question. But how? How can this be? Mary was curious and patient. And it's so simple. She asked a question, and then she waited. It's amazing, right? It's just so simple. If Mary didn't ask the question, how, and wait, she might not have been able to hear all of the important and comforting messages that came to follow. Mary was blessed. She got answers right away. But some questions, they just don't get answered immediately. And that's when we need to get curious and stay curious. We probably all have questions we've asked to God and we've not received the answers. Stay curious. Because as Gabriel said to Mary, the word of God will never fail. You don't see how Mary did this in Luke 1, but if you skip ahead to Luke 2, just one chapter later, you see this really interesting phrase that's used a couple of times throughout the scriptures. It says in Luke 2:19, Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. Some translations say that she pondered them, she treasured them, or gave them careful thought. She kept thinking about them and stayed curious over a lifetime. If you have questions, God isn't offended by your curiosity. Just keep pondering, keep wondering, and keep thinking about these things often. The word of God will not fail. In the midst of confusion, stay curious and your faith will grow. The final thing we see with Mary, something that's so important for us on our faith journey, is that we stay connected. Mary stayed connected to the message of God, and her curiosity helped her stay connected to others. The angel encouraged Mary by telling her about Elizabeth being pregnant in her old age. This was another really important part because shortly after the angel visited her, Mary went and she visited Elizabeth, and sure enough, they were both pregnant. This was a moment of confirmation. Both Elizabeth and Mary had their faith grow because they were experiencing God's promises together. We were made to go on this journey with others. Something happens in our hearts when we personally encounter the Lord, but those encounters are designed to be shared. Mary had an encounter with the Lord, and she also went and visited Elizabeth, who also had her own encounter, and they were both inspired by what God was doing. There is power in sharing with one another what God is up to in our lives. If you want to grow your faith, be in spiritual community. When you aren't in spiritual communities, you don't get to hear about spiritual things. And when you don't hear about spiritual things, it's easy to forget about all the great things that God has done in your life and things he's doing all around you. Even more, sometimes life isn't going great, and it's hard to see what God is doing, but hearing someone else's story keeps your faith alive and growing. If you have a chance to hear someone's story, listen, ask questions, and be curious. If you have a chance to share your story, share it. Your story matters, and it can build the faith of those around you. Another great way to stay connected is to show up here on Sunday mornings at church. We're going to preach from the scriptures, and your faith will grow in our spaces together. Take notes during our time together. Arrive early, find a seat, and pray before we begin that God would be preparing your heart to speak to you. We start every service with a scripture reading. You can sit and listen and lean in and prepare your heart to receive what the Lord has for you from our gatherings. Throughout your week, stay connected by reading scripture. I encourage you to open up the book of Luke during this season where the Christmas story is found in scripture. As you read it, as you open it, don't be afraid to go slowly. As you go slow, that creates space for you to get curious while you are trying to stay connected. Mary did all of these things. All of these things, and it changed her life. She created space to be alone with God. She got curious about all that she had heard, and she stayed connected, especially with other believers who helped raise her level of expectation. And in the end, she moved from confused and disturbed to a life filled with faith. Now, this happened only in a few verses in our Bible, but it actually took place over a few months. And this is when you can see Mary's faith in action. Just a few verses later, she responds with this famous passage that's commonly referred to as Mary's song. So let's listen to Luke 1, 46 to 55. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." This is what it can look like to move from confusion to faith. You can go from, "But how, Lord? How can this be?" And if you get alone with God, if you get curious, if you stay connected, faith can grow and praise can often be the response. When you see and experience for yourself the living God at work, you will be moved to praise just like Mary. So may this be true. May this be true in our lives this Christmas season.